Monday, January 6th, 1986. The chapel speaker is Dr. Wan Yong Ji. His sermon text is Ephesians 3, verses 2 through 12, and his sermon theme, Lutherans, Quo Vadis?
Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, now and throughout the year 1986. Dear friends and fellow redeemed in Christ, I have chosen as a theme for my brief address, somewhat strange title it may sound, Lutherans Quo Vadis. During last month, I had two rather meaningful experiences. With much reflection, I read the last issue of Concordia Student Journal on our campus, Volume 9, Number 1, featuring the church growth movement today. So interested that I read it in one sitting. I am sure many of you also read it. Were you edified, enlightened, challenged, perplexed, disturbed, or confused? If you agreed, with whom and with what did you agree? If you disagreed, with whom did you disagree? Another experience I had was with Concordia Journal of our seminary, November issue. I have received a number of letters so far on my small writing, the work of the Holy Spirit and charismatic movements from Luther's perspective. Now I can say for sure that at least some other persons beside me read my article. I am very happy about that. Some wrote even nice things about it, and others expressed some disagreements. Some wrote me somewhat puzzling, a statement, let us say, according to the way of their disagreeing. One person wrote, quote, "Surely the article quite accurately reflects the traditional Lutheran position on the charismatic movement as we know it today. However," unquote. Following that, however, he said a number of good things about the so-called charismatics today in America, and also proudly acknowledged his frequent contacts with them. Then he said, unquote, quote, "By the way, it may be helpful for you to remember that I am not a charismatic," unquote. There I saw some inconsistency in his reasoning. In this brief address, unfortunately, I cannot possibly take up these two very complicated and slippery subjects, so-called church growth movement and the charismatic movement in quotation marks in America and elsewhere, which are already deeply theologized and ideologized subjects into certain theological directions. What I want to reflect briefly is this. Apostle Paul, the first cross-cultural anthropologist, the first ethno-theologian, the first cross-cultural communicator in today's well-meant expressions, gives us a clear clue and a suggestion in the context of 1980s how to cope with these problems, which are indeed shaking up the minds of many Lutherans and Lutheranism itself, theologically and missiologically. I see three points of paramount importance vis-a-vis these issues, that is, the two movements in quotation marks. By way of an introductory remark, we may observe that the third chapter of the Ephesians is a prayer for the Gentiles by the cross-cultural missionary Apostle Paul. The verses 2 to 12, that is the text, are a long parenthesis alluding to a number of important things. I would like to highlight 3 points. First point is, our calling is privilege. I said privilege. Our calling as seminarians, theological professors, and pastors is a privilege, not a mere duty, nor a profession in an ordinary sense. The grace of God bestowed on Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles was a special blessing of the Lord. He knew that, and so he testified it with conviction. It is the high privilege of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the various ethnic groups of the people. Through Christ, these people too can freely approach God. We have the truth, the God's message, His way of salvation. Now we are learning at the seminary how to proclaim the good news to the world. In this sense, we are the haves, or the rich, in today's language, the privileged ones. For our richness, someone had to become poor, as we know. Paul himself wrote, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Indeed, it is a privilege to be a seminarian, a theological professor, pastor, and missionary. Such an understanding and such an attitude enable us to study, teach, and work with greater joy, excitement, and thanksgiving. Do we have such a great sense of privilege in us as we are in the seminary or in the ministry? A spiritual renewal movement, which we need today, may rise in the church, and the congregation may also grow in number when the pastor and each member of the congregation take such an attitude, strongly motivated by the gospel witness to the world as a special privilege. Second point is this. Mission is the raison d'etre of the church. Apostle Paul reminds us that the ingathering of the nations, or in today's language, all ethnic groups, was not an afterthought of God, but it was part of the eternal purpose and counsel of God. This is something which we would do well to remember. Sometimes the history of the Christian church may be presented in such a way that it sounds as if the gospel went out to the Gentiles only because the Jews would not receive it. Paul tells us that the salvation of all people is the vital part of God's eternal design. Similarly, Christian witness or mission is not an appendix to the parish program. It is the essential part of the church, the basic reason for existence as a church. Mission is truly God's eternal design, the reason for our being Christians. When we have a missionary vision, take God's mission with seriousness, and do something about it, the questions of growth of the congregation and the question of the spiritual renewal aspect may give us a totally different picture. At least we may look at them from different perspectives and not from some established ideologies. Third and final point is this. God's grace is manifold wisdom of God, applicable to all types of situations in life. We do not need to change it to make meaningful to one situation or another. Paul uses a very significant word to describe the grace of God, polupoikilos, meaning many-colored or much varied. The idea in this word is that the grace of God will match with any situation which life may bring to us. This is a very important insight, particularly today. God's gracious message of salvation is triumphantly adequate for all situations. All the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. In a generation like ours, when all imaginable types of contextualization attempts and adaptation efforts are made in the name of being relevant to the situation, and thus subsequently and frequently reduces the content of the gospel, it is vitally important to realize the real nature of the grace of God, which is applicable to all times and in all places. To conclude, let us take our calling as a special privilege. Mission of God as the real reason for our being Christians and Lutherans. And take God's message of grace as applicable to all situations. When we do this, by the grace of God, we may alleviate some of the burdens from the minds of the Lutherans vis-a-vis many modern movements, and then get a clearer answer to the question, Lutherans, quo vadis? May the Lord enlighten us all so that our church would grow and our spiritual renewal possible by the grace of God. Amen.